gum. All right. Well, I'm just going to pray. Heavenly Father, I just thank you. You are good. You are so good. We thank you, Lord, for your Spirit. Your word says it leads us and guides us into all truth. It is a light that shows us the way. And Heavenly Father, today I just pray that the light of your Spirit would just enlighten us in a new and a fresh way today. I just pray for all of us, Lord, that we would be good ground, ready to receive a fresh seed of your word, that it would be planted in good soil and produce a good harvest. Your word does not return void, and I declare right now in Jesus' name that the word will not return void in every single person that's here today. It'll go and it'll be planted and accomplish a good thing. I just pray for truth, passion, and accuracy right now in Jesus' name, that it be your words, not my words, and it's for your glory, not for anybody else. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah. Well, I have the honor and the privilege and the joy of bringing you the word this morning. I love, it sounds kind of weird, but I love preaching. I love it. I love being up here, so we're going to have fun today. We were joking this morning, and joking, not joking, like, you know, you say funny, not funny, or whatever, but the Spirit of David is here this morning, and it was so cool, because we walked into church, and we were before anybody else, and we were here this morning, and around 8 o'clock, and we're walking in, and Peter and Lucy are walking in, and we're just kind of setting things down, and then all of a sudden, that big Goliath just goes, bah! It just falls down. And I turned around, I'm like, who threw a rock? Who threw a rock? And then Mitch is like, the Spirit of David's here. And you know what? We were joking around, but I kind of started thinking about that. And I'm like, you know what? The Spirit of David is here. You know, the Lord called David a man after his own heart. And if you think about him, what did David do? He worshiped. He praised. He had problems, but he loved God. He had hope. He warfared when he needed to go to warfare. I mean, he wasn't afraid to go after a lion or a bear or a giant. He went after him. He went after him because he knew God was with him. And this morning, I want us to take that into our heart, that as funny as it was that David came, you know, Goliath came down, God wants us to have that same spirit in us of hope and of love and of worship, but of warfare too, not standing for anything less than the power and the goodness of God. Hallelujah. Well, I had the honor of bringing the word on Wednesday as well, and this is going to be the second part to what I talked about on Wednesday, piggybacking off of that. And just to give you a little bit of background, Mitch and I have been, and our family, we had been gone the last few weeks. We got back last Sunday, or last week. We were here for church on Sunday. And we had been traveling. We got to see Eric and Denise in Arkansas. We went and saw Mitch's family in Ohio. We spent some time there. It was a lot of fun. We did a lot of cool things. They spent some, you know, it's. I love it because it's such a small town. It's around the size of Douglas, maybe smaller. And just a real family-oriented place. I always joke and tell Mitch it's like Pleasantville. Like, you know, everybody's all riding their bikes, and I don't know, it's, I won't go into that. Anyways, we had a really good time, and one of the nights that we were there, Mitch's mom has a nice little porch, and she has a chimenea fire pit thing, and we had a little fire outside, and the kids roasted marshmallows, and we just sat out there and talked, and they ran around and caught fireflies and stuff, and they had a really good time. And something I said on Wednesday, and I'm going to say it again, is that fireflies are real, guys. Fireflies are real. I've had so many people, like four or five people that came up to me, and they're like, I didn't know that those are really real. I'm like, oh my gosh, Arizona people, we are so embarrassing. Like, yes, they are real, and it's a real thing. Fireflies, they call them lightning bugs. They also call soda pop, which is, I don't know. But fireflies are real. You can catch them and you can watch them. You can also smash them and smear it on your skin and you're like Avatar. You like glow, you know. So it was really cool. And so we had this little bonfire and they had their little s'mores and whatever and life went on. And a couple days later, we're outside. I went outside with Noah in the middle of the day, and we're sitting there at the little table, and he goes up to the chimenea, and so mad and upset, he turns and he's like, "Mom, where's the fire?" And I'm like, "What? Mom, where's the fire at? It was right here. Where's the fire? Where'd the fire go?" I'm like, "Babe, that was 2 days ago. Like, you know, the fire went out. We didn't put more wood in it. We didn't keep it going. It's out." And that, as soon as it came out of my mouth, it also spoke to my spirit. And sometimes as parents, or just in life, God does that. Like, you're in an everyday situation, and you say something, or something happens, and it's like God is using it as a lesson for you in that moment. And I felt that with this. As soon as it came out of my mouth, I was like, you know, we didn't fuel the fire, Noah. We didn't tend it. It went out. And it's a law of nature that fire needs fuel to burn. Fire needs fuel to burn. And, you know, the way that God designed nature is also a reflection of the spirit world. And our spiritual fire needs fuel to burn. If we don't fuel it, if we don't tend it, we don't keep it going, it can get cold, can get a little bit smaller. And in reality, if we let it go long enough, it could die. So we need to constantly be fueling our fire, our passion, tend it, and keep it hot or it'll go out. And I kind of likened it on Wednesday to relationships and love. Relationships and love. And relating it to love right now, love isn't a one-time event. As little girls, we're kind of conditioned. We see enough movies and read enough fairy tales that we grow up living for our wedding day. I remember, like, when I got engaged, I had boxes of bridal magazines that I would mark, and I'd cut things, and I had all this thing, and, like, I don't know where I thought all the money for this was coming from, but it was gonna happen, okay? So this was my dream, and this was gonna, you know, this is how it's gonna look, and you're happily ever after. You ride off into the sunset, the lights go down, the credits roll, the end. Is that what happens? No. The sun rises the next day. You roll over. He says, "Good morning, honey." And you smell his breath. The reality of life is that things aren't perfect, right? Like, all of a sudden, you see sights and smells and things that you never in your life thought you would. I will not go into that. But we figure out that marriage, just like any other relationship in our lives, isn't perfect, and it also takes work. And we have to work at keeping communication and intimacy alive for it to be a good relationship. Mitch and I, we have 3 small kids and a very busy lifestyle, and we have to purpose to make time to spend together, to go on a date, to keep the fire burning. And it's a hassle. It's a hassle to work out the sitter and what we're going to do and how it's all going to go. And it's like, let's just stay home. Like, why even go through the headache of it? Because we need to spend some time together, quality time together. And if you need it. You need it. And when we're out, it's like, oh, thank God we did this. Like, it's so nice. Shout out to my mom for always helping us being a babysitter. Yay, Mom. Oh, my gosh. I really do. I thank God for my mom all the time and all that she does for us. She's awesome and a blessing. Also for good babysitters. Praise the Lord. But anyways, we have to work to make time to spend together. We have to go on dates, keep the fire going. And you know why? Because life just keeps going. Life keeps going. You know, sun rises, sun sets. It happens over and over. And it's easy to fall into the everyday routine. It's easy to fall into that. You wake up, you brush your teeth, you drink your coffee, you go to the bathroom, you go to work, you come home, like whatever, and you just get into that. And we lose that excitement and that passion that we once had. And our relationship with the Holy Spirit, with the Father, is the same way. We can't be experienced-based. We can't live off of that one time at youth camp that it was so awesome and everybody was just running and jumping and getting healed and whatever. Like, that is awesome. But that will not carry you for the rest of your life. That can change you. That'll change you. That can change a person. You can't live off of that one time that Pastor Calvin just preached like that awesome message, that one time that what's his name was here and he threw a boot at somebody. Who was here that day? He was like, he got up and he chucked a boot. Or that one time that Pastor Calvin started throwing his water bottle and he fell on the floor. Like, anybody else was here for that? I was upstairs and I heard about it. I am so sad that I missed it. I'm glad he's okay though. Or that one time that you went and saw Joyce Myers. Or that one time that you went to this concert and it was really awesome. What happens the next day, though? Like, those experiences are great, and we need them because they can change our lives. They can change the path of our life. And like, I've been at youth camp, and God has spoken words to me that into my life, like prophetic words and things. Like, we need those things, but those experiences don't carry us through everyday life. My wedding day 8 years ago isn't helping me get through 9. Ooh. Every year, women, we always blame it on the guy, but I am the worst at this. I forget. No, in Jesus' name, I don't forget, and I have a good memory. My mind is blessed, but it's not just guys, I'm just saying. Okay. Somebody asked me how much my kids weighed when they were born or how long they are. But we can't, life goes on, and it's our job to keep our spiritual fire alive, daily feeding it. I used an example on Wednesday of naked and afraid. I'm sorry if that kind of offends you, but we were all born naked. You get home, you take a shower, you don't take it in your clothes. Like, you know, it's a thing, it's life. Okay, so there's this show, Naked and Afraid, where they take two people and they strip them bare and they give them one tool and they drop them off in the middle of nowhere somewhere and they're expected to survive for 2 weeks and make it to a certain place and they get rescued. Well, one of the biggest challenges and obstacles that they face a lot of times is making a fire. You'll hear them talk about, we got to make a fire. We got to make a fire. The wood's wet. What are we going to do? The rain's coming. We got to make a fire. We got to make a fire. And if they're smart, they bring one of those little flinty things, right? Psst, 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 and then it helps it start. But then what? They're like, oh, great. We got the fire. Let's go find food. No. One of them has to sit there and tend the fire. Make sure that it doesn't go out. Because if it goes out, we're screwed. We got to make another one. We can't just light a fire in us and like have this great experience and be like, awesome, I'm going to go over here. Like, it doesn't work that way. We got to work at maintaining our spiritual fire. Tend it. We have to watch it and make sure that our busyness of life and the busyness of every day, that we're not letting it get smaller and smaller. Are we watching our fire? Our passion. And our question, the question I had on Wednesday night was, are we watching it, number one? Is it alive? And is it as hot or as big as it could be? Those are all good things that we can ask ourselves. And so that kind of leads us to today. On Wednesday, my sermon was called, Where's the Fire? And today, guess what? It's called, Where's the Fire? Part two. Real exciting, right? But it's going to kind of, Where's the Fire? Part two, / What Are You Made Of? Right? What are you made of? Where's the fire? What are you made of? So in reflecting on this and thinking about it, we know that in nature, laws of nature, different substances burn differently. We can all agree with this. And I was thinking about the 4th of July, because we just had the 4th of July. Can you guys believe it's already going to be almost August? Like, crazy. But, so, 4th of July, fireworks. Fireworks, different fireworks burn differently. You've seen a fireworks show. There are some that just go boom. And then there's some that, like, they look like little worms that go out and then they, like, twinkle down. And then there's some that, like, are like a circle and then, like, another circle and, like, all these crazy different things. And I've always wondered, like, how the heck do they get those different patterns? Well, it turns out that it's the way that the stuff is arranged in the canister. Okay, so I'm not going to go into it all, and honestly, I don't remember it all, but there's different stuff that they put in to make a firework that goes boom, and the way that they arrange it, if they want a heart, they arrange the stuff into a heart, and then they fill it with the other stuff that makes it explode, and then you get a heart. Or if you just want a random one, you just throw it all in there, and those are the big ones that are really pretty and kind of just come out. They're called chrysanthemum fireworks. A little bit of random knowledge you can store way in the back there. And our 4th of July was pretty interesting. Mitch's brother found this firework shop and went nuts. Like, he bought all kinds of fireworks. And both of my sons don't like fireworks. Noah doesn't like any kind of loud noise. Like, to the point where I tried, like, holding him out there and, like, you're going to watch it. And I'm like, I'm going to scar my kid for life. Like, he was not having it. but Mitch and his brother liked to light the fireworks. And I have this little clip. I want to show it. We don't need to turn off the lights. It's only like 7 seconds long. But Mitch and his brother, side note, this has nothing to do with the sermon, but they are just funny together. He was the guy that came recently, Craig. Some of you may have met him. But anyways, these two guys get together. The cops came one of the nights, I'm just saying. And then this other night, we went into the field, and Mitch's mom is like, I don't want you guys to light no fireworks. And then as soon as she turns around, Craig's like, let's go light them. And they did. And we had something funny that happened. I wanted to show you guys real quick. It's not a long video, but that's it. We had these big Roman candles, and then all of a sudden, this big one, like, exploded on the ground. It starts, like, shooting. I had all the kids and my sister-in-law next to me, and it was like, ooh. It was really funny. I thought it was really funny. Anyways, different substances burn differently. And the question I have today is, what are you made of? What's your stuff? We all kind of look the same. I mean, not really, but we all have the same packaging. We all have a head, forearms, center body. Like, as humans, we're all made the same. But inside, as you know, we're all different. We have different opinions. We react to things differently. Praise God for variety. Imagine if we were all the same. Ugh, how bland. How bland that would be. No, God made us all different. My nana used to say, and then my mom said, cada cabeza es un mundo. Every mind is a different world. Praise God. Oh, my gosh. But thinking about the fireworks and 4th of July and them almost dying and all these things, like, and how people are, some people in our lives are like sparklers. They come into our lives, and they burn real bright, and they burn real hot, and it's real pretty, and you're like, ah, this is so cool. And then all of a sudden, it's like, where'd they go? These people that came in, guns blazing, they're like, yeah, it's so awesome, everything's so good. And then all of a sudden, they're gone. You're like, what happened? And then you get other people, and they're like those spinner things, or like those fountain ones where you light them, and it just spins and spins and spins, and then after a while, you're like, is this going to go out? It's going to start a fire or something. Like, it goes on a long time. We're all different. But how things are arranged inside of us determines how we are going to react on the outside. So what is inside of you determines how you burn. And I'd like for us to turn our Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. And if you don't have it, just for the sake of time, I might go a little bit faster. It's going to be up here on the board, or whatever you call those, screen, monitor, TV. 1 Corinthians 3. This is going to be from the New Living Translation, starting in verse 9. It says, "For we are both God's workers, and you are God's field. You are God's building. Because of God's grace to me, I have laid the foundation like an expert builder, and now others are building on it. But whoever is building on this foundation must be very careful, for no one can lay any foundation other than the one we already have, Jesus Christ. Anyone who builds on that foundation may use a variety of materials, gold, silver, jewels, wood, hay, or straw. But on the judgment day, fire will reveal what kind of work each builder has done. The fire will show if a person's work has any value. If the work survives, that builder will receive a reward. But if the work is burnt up, the builder will suffer a great loss. The builder will be saved, but like someone barely escaping through the wall of flames. Don't you realize that all of you together are the temple of God and that the Spirit of God lives in you? God will destroy anyone who destroys this temple, for God's temple is holy, and you are that temple. So the fire will show if a person's work has any value." And you think about that. It says that, you know, whoever builds on this foundation can use a variety of materials, gold, silver, jewels, wood, hay, straw. Hay is going to burn differently than wood. It'll burn faster. You know, you build a fire and you have the big, thick log pieces that you put, like, as the center. And then you have, you know, the kindling or the stuff that you want to go real quick. Everything burns differently. And the fire will show if a person's work has any value. And we all go through fire. We all go through times of trial and testing. Has anybody not ever had a problem in your life? No. We all go through some things. We all go through things. And I was thinking about it, and it reminded me of, like, in the movies. You see these, it's kind of, you know, it happens a lot in movies. You see these characters, and they're, like, maybe big and macho or real beautiful or whatever, and they've got everything together and all that stuff, and they're going through the movie and the action and all that stuff, and then all of a sudden there's a moment of trial and testing, maybe when there's danger and somebody's life is at risk, and this person has to decide if they're going to step in and help this person or if they're going to save themselves. And a lot of times in the movies, these characters, they, you know, even though they were so big and so awesome, in that moment of testing, they cut and run. They choose to save themselves, right? We've seen that happen. I was, Captain America, we all know Captain America. We've seen the movie. When he was real skinny and scrawny before he got, you know, beefed up with that serum and all that stuff and that special tanning bed. I want that tanning bed, whatever kind of tanning bed he had. But before that, they had selected him, and there's all these big, you know, big military guys, army dudes, and they're all buff and they're whatever, and they can run, you know, all these miles and do all these things and push-ups. And then, you know, what happens? The general or whoever that guy was, he takes a grenade and he throws it in the middle of them, and all those guys duck and cover. They book it. And what does he do? What does Captain America do? He jumps on that grenade to save everybody else. And it didn't matter that he was skinny and smaller than everybody else. What mattered was his character on the inside. That proved his stuff, his worth. And we just read that on Judgment Day, the fire will reveal the kind of work each builder has done. The fire will show if a person's work has any value. So my question is today for all of us is, what are you made of? What are you made of? What are you going to do when the fire of trial and testing comes? That's when our true colors show, when the stuff hits the fan and life isn't so hunky-dory, things get a little bumpy, a little rough. That's when the real us comes out. And if our foundation is good, the rest of you should hold up good. There's an example of this in the Word of God in Matthew chapter 7, and I'm going to read this from the English Standard Version, or ESV. Matthew chapter 7, starting in verse 24, it says, "But then, everyone then who hears these words of mine," this is Jesus talking, "and does them will be like a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain fell, and the floods came up, and the wind blew and beat on that house, but it did not fall, because it had been founded on the rock. And anyone who hears these words of mine," Jesus, remember this is Jesus saying, "anyone who hears these words of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who has built his house on the sand. The rain fell, and the floods came up, and the winds blew and beat against the house, and it fell. And great was the fall of it." I was thinking of the children's church song. The wise man built his house upon the rock. What's going to happen when the rains come down and the floods go up? When the winds come and they beat against us? Because it does. It happens in life. What are we going to do? What are you going to do? Are you going to cut and run? Are you going to duck and cover? Are you going to split? And we need to know that we weren't meant to just exist and just look pretty. God made you tough. God made you tough. God made you strong enough to endure. Not just to survive, but to thrive. God wants not just you surviving, but thriving. He made you strong and courageous, full of power and might. There are some things in life that are decoration only. You know? They're not really of real good use. To me, in my own life, I was thinking, I'm sorry if this is inappropriate, but I was thinking of women's undergarments. There are some things that are just not meant to stand up to the test, if you know what I mean. And there are other it looks pretty, but it doesn't really do a good job. Okay? Are we all right? it doesn't do a good job. All right? It looks good. It looks nice on the hanger. You know, you wouldn't go running, you wouldn't go climb a mountain in a suit. It looks good on the hanger, it looks good on, but when you really need to start moving, when things start happening, you need something that's a little bit more functional. Right? And there are some people who live life as decoration only. We all want to look good. We all want to have this, you know, to have a good life. But your faith is the foundation that will keep you standing when the shaking and the fire comes. It's not enough just to look good on the outside, but we have to make sure that we have the right stuff on the inside, because the trials and the testing and the fire will come. And it does come, but what are we going to do when it does? If we are decoration only, we're just going to go up like those sparklers. We are not decoration only. God made us with a purpose. He made us with a job to be used. Hallelujah. So what do we do? What are we going to do? Let's see. Let's see what the word has to say. In Ephesians 6, verse 13, this is from the Good News Translation. Please, this is a side note. If you have a Bible, you need to read it. If you don't have a Bible, talk to us. We're going to get you one because you need a Bible. And if you have a Bible and you're like, well, I don't read it because I don't understand it, there are so many versions out there that are easy to understand. You don't have to just read King James. I mean, King James Version is awesome. But there are sometimes even I read that, I'm like, I don't know what that means. And then I have my good new my New Living Translations, what I use most of the time. But if you have a Bible, don't just let it sit on the shelf because you don't understand it. Get a version that you can understand. Put an app on your phone or something. There are so many ways for us to get the word into us these days. We have no excuse, okay? That's just a side little plug for the Bible. All right, so Ephesians chapter 6, verse 13 from the Good News Translation, it says, "So put on God's armor now. Then when the evil day comes, you will be able to resist the enemy's attack. And after fighting to the end, you will still hold your ground." In other versions, it says, "Having done all to stand, stand." You will be left standing. How? By the armor of God, by the Spirit. The fire will come and will prove our worth. What is your worth? What is your quality? And it doesn't matter what brand of clothes you have. That determines your quality. It doesn't matter how expensive your purse was or how many payments you have on your car. Like, that does not determine your quality. Your quality is on the inside. Because I've met some pretty crappy people that have really nice things. And I've met some really awesome people that don't have that much. And honestly, they don't really care. Because God is our sustainer and our provider. He satisfies. When you have the Spirit, oh man, it's good. You learn not to care about all that stuff. All right, so how do we do it? By the armor of God and by the Spirit. The second things get a little hot, a little comfortable, what are you going to do? What comes out of your mouth? What comes out of our mouth when the problem comes? When you get that diagnosis or you get that report or you get whatever. What comes out of your mouth when that person says that thing to you that they know they shouldn't have said, but they said it anyways? When they do that thing to you that just, oh, it hurts you so bad. What are you going to do? What comes out of your mouth? What are you going to do? You know, like, it's a good test. Because we can either stand on the word and what we know God says. We don't live by what we see. Faith does not come by living by what you see. It comes by the very definition of faith in the Bible is the substance of things hoped for, of things not yet seen. You don't need to have faith for something you already have, something you already feel. Something that's already yours. When we got a bad report about Jacob when he was a little baby, saying that he had this mass in his lung and they were going to have to explore and see what they're going to see, this little bitty baby. He had just been through so much. He had been in the hospital, almost died. We got home and they said, oh yeah, by the way, he's got a mass in his lung. We're not sure what it is, but later on, we'll go in there and we can see, and you know, maybe it's whatever and maybe it's whatever. In those moments, you have two choices. You have two choices. What are you going to do? Are you going to go by what the world says or what the word says? Which one is more real? And to us, it was so easy. And as a parent, it's easy to tell somebody else, have faith. Have faith. Trust God. Speak over your circumstance. But when it's you, that's a whole different story. But you got two choices. You have two choices. You can turn and run, or you can stand and live. And the word says that you put on the armor of God, and when the day of evil comes, Jesus didn't say this, but it didn't say, if something happens, if you face trouble, and maybe, you know, maybe not. says when, because that's life, and that's how the enemy works. When the day of trouble comes, you're going to be able to stand strong and resist it. It's not going to affect you because you have the armor that you need. You have the spirit. You have every weapon that you need to face this enemy and come out winning. So what did we do? We went to the Word and we worshiped. We worshiped. We worshiped. I shed many tears. It's not that you don't feel emotion. It's just, what are you going to do with it? What are you going to do with it? Having done all to stand, stand, and you will be left standing. Fire purifies. Fire purifies. You know, gold and, you know, the smelter. They take these raw materials and they heat it up and they churn it. And the fire purifies. It gets all the junk floating to the top, and then you can skim it away. It cleanses away the old and unnecessary and makes way for the new. I was thinking about forest fires. They're so devastating. They're so awful. But, you know, they're necessary in nature. They happen, you know, with lightning and things. It's just a part of nature. But it clears the way. It makes the soil fertile. It gets rid of what's old and dead, and it makes way for new. And it's not a comfortable thing to talk about. We don't want to talk about having problems. Like, we all want to, yes, you know, like, we want to hear sermons that are going to, like, lift us up and you know, feel good things. This is a feel-good message. I'm telling you that when problems come, you're going to overcome because of Jesus. Because of Jesus. I'm not going to lie to you and say, because you got saved, your life is perfect now. Everything's going to go great. Everything's going to go your way. You're going to have a bag of $1 million at your doorstep tomorrow. All your kids are going to act right. Like everything is just... It doesn't work that way. But God says, you are more than a conqueror. But God says, what did Jesus say? I'm going to be with you always. Like, we got to catch this. When the problem comes, we have every tool that we need to get over it and keep going. And not just survive, but to thrive. But God. Hallelujah. You think about Daniel chapter 6, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. If you don't know this story, it's three young guys, and Daniel was with them, so it was four friends. And their nation of Israel, had gotten conquered, and these guys got carried away to a foreign land to serve a foreign king, and they trained them up. Because they were handsome and good-looking, and they were trained, you know, they were smart guys. And so they trained them up to be leaders and to serve the king, and they did all these cool things. And three of them, it was Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And the king, he made this giant statue. And he was being influenced by some people, and they were like, you know what? You need to make a rule, king, that everybody's got to bow down before this statue that you made of yourself and worship it. And if they don't, you got to kill them. Because they were trying to get rid of these guys, because they were blessed. They love God. And that's how the devil works. He likes to try to snuff out the light. And so Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, long story short, they did not bow down to the idol. So what happened? They got thrown into a fiery furnace. And it was so hot, so hot, that the guys that threw them in burned up. That sucks. Like, you know? Like, it was so hot that the guys that were taking them in there, they died. So they threw them into this thing, to this big furnace. And then they go and they peek from somewhere. There must have been somewhere where they could peek into that place without getting burned. And it says, hey, didn't we throw three guys in there? Yeah, we threw three guys in there. Well, there's four guys in there, and one of them looks like a god. When we go through the fire, there's the fourth man that is there with us in the fire. There's the fourth man that is there with us in the fire. We have the Spirit of the living God with us everywhere we go. Jesus is there with us everywhere we go. And what happened? They pulled these guys out. It said that they didn't even smell like smoke. They didn't even smell like smoke. But what happened? The only thing that burned were the ropes that bound them. So in the fire, it's hot. It's uncomfortable. We don't like it. We don't like going through problems. We don't like things to change. We like just coasting. But the fire is sometimes necessary, and it helps us grow. It helps us grow, and it helps burn away things in our life that aren't needed. So what's binding you up? Do you have something? Do I have something? Reflect on yourself. Do I got something that's binding me up? Is there something that could be burned away? Because you are able, you are going to make it through whatever situation you're in, and because of that fourth man that's there with you, you're going to come out, you're not even going to smell like smoke. That's how good God is. You're going to come out of that fire, you're not even going to smell like smoke. You're going to come out standing tall and strong. And you know what happened? Because of that, that king turned to God. And then he made the whole country do it. So God wants to take your test. Your test is going to be your testimony. Your test is going to be your testimony. What are you going to do with it? What are you going to do with it? Your mess is going to become your message. What are you going to do with it? I had given, the last time I was here, I had talked about Job, one of the last messages I gave, and how he went through so much, and he had every opportunity to curse God. Even his own wife told him, curse God. And when I was preparing that message, I felt like the Holy Spirit impressed on me and said, you know, in our situations, we can either curse God and die or bless God and live. You can either curse God and die or you're going to bless God and live. It's your choice. What are you going to do? Hebrews 12, verses 1 through 3 in the New Living Translation says, therefore, since we are surrounded by such a huge crowd of witnesses to the life of faith, and it had just, in the previous chapter, it had just, in the couple chapters before, it was talking about men and women of faith, awesome men and women in the Bible. And then it concludes and it says this, therefore, since we are surrounded by such a huge crowd of witnesses to the life of faith, let us strip off every weight that slows us down, especially that the sin that so easily trips us up. Let us run with endurance the race of God, the race God has set before us. We do this by keeping our eyes on Jesus, the champion who initiates and perfects our faith. Because of the joy awaiting him, he endured the cross, disregarding his shame. Now he is seated in the place of honor beside God's throne. Think of all the hostility he endured from simple people. Then you won't become weary and give up. All the problems that we face are not greater than the test and the trial that Jesus faced. He endured the cross. He endured people that were close to him, people that he loved, abandoning him and turning their back on him. He endured hardship. He endured physical pain. It says that, they whipped him. He bled. He was nothing but, they couldn't even recognize him. He endured all of that because of the joy awaiting him. What's that joy? That's us. He did that for us. He endured the cross, disregarding its shame, because he knew what was to come. He knew what was coming. He knew the value of what he was doing. And now he's seated in a place of honor. And if I love that. If we think of all the hostility he endured from sinful people, that happens. Sometimes, you know, I'm talking to somebody and they're like so upset about somebody that did something to them. And especially if it's a believer, I'll say, but look at the source. Look at who told you that. They don't have Jesus. You know, we can't be weary and give up. I'm going to read the same passage from The Message, okay? I love the way it paraphrases this. It says, do you see what this means? All these pioneers who blazed the way, all these veterans cheering us on, it means we'd better get on with it. Strip down, start running, and never quit. No extra spiritual fat, no parasitic sin. Keep your eyes on Jesus, who both began and finished this race we're in. Study how he did it, because he never lost sight of where he was headed, that exhilarating finish in and with God. He could put up with anything along the way, cross, shame, whatever, and now he's there in the place of honor, right alongside God. When you find yourself flagging in your faith, go over that story again, item by item, that long litany of hostility he plowed through. That will shoot adrenaline into your souls. That gets me excited. We don't like to talk about problems, but they still happen whether we're saved or not. They're scary, upsetting, uncomfortable. But the Lord didn't promise us a perfect life without attacks or issues or problems. But he promised, but God, there's always the but God, but God promised us a power-filled life. Power. Why? Because we got the Holy Ghost. We've got the Holy Spirit living on the inside of us. He gave us the Spirit and powerful promises to stand on. So when the enemy comes, and he will come, you have what you need to kick him in the face and move on. Okay? You know? You see those videos. I love these videos that... There was that one that just came up, the waitress that was in the restaurant, and the guy that goes by and he gropes her as he walks by. What does she do? She drops him. She went over to him and she's like, no, and she, boom, she slammed him on the floor. And you know what? That's what we need to do spiritually. When the enemy comes in and he starts messing with us, and he will, he tries to, and he knows exactly what gets us, and what might get me is different than what's going to get you. Those little things that are just right. You know what I'm talking about. What are you going to do? Are you just going to take it? Oh, well, that's life. Are you going to be like, no, the word says. This is what the word says. And I'm not going to take that. I'm not going to accept that. This is what the word says. We slap the devil in the face with the Bible. You know? Because that's the truth. In the word, it says that the devil roams around, our enemy roams around like a roaring lion, seeking those that he can devour. It's up to you if you let yourself or if you stand up. You can be like David. It says that he would go after the lion or a bear that would steal a sheep from the herd. He would go after them. He'd go after them, take them by the jaw. How do you take a lion by the jaw? By the Spirit of God. How do you face a giant with three little stones? Or five? Five. Excuse me. He only needed one. With a little rock. A little dude, a little teenager guy. Facing, you know, how tall did they say it was? Like 9 foot? Something ridiculous? With a little rock. But all you need is the rock. All you need is the rock. You don't need all these other things. All you need is Jesus. He is the rock of our salvation. He's the rock that we stand on. He is our foundation. Just like that house that was built on the rock, it didn't fall down when the problems came. They came, but it didn't fall down because it had a good foundation. You have what you need, not just to survive, but to thrive. You're tough because Jesus made you tough. Jesus is tough. He endured it all, and look at him where he is now. Hallelujah. So you have the right stuff to make it through the fire. When our foundation is Jesus, there's nothing that can overcome you. When your foundation is Jesus, when our foundation is Jesus, the rain fell and the floods came up, the winds came and they blew against the house, but it did not fall because it was founded on the rock. This is one of my favorite scriptures in the Bible, is Isaiah 59:19, the second half of the verse. It says that when the enemies shall come in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord shall raise up a standard against him. It doesn't say if. Well, if you ever have a problem, you know, run to Jesus. Turn your eyes to the cross. It says when the enemy shall come in like a flood, because what the devil does is he wants to steal, kill, and destroy. He is a liar. And if you love God, he's going to try to come after you because he doesn't want you seeing your potential, knowing your power, knowing your worth, knowing your purpose. He doesn't want you living for God. He's going to do what he can, and that's what he tried to do with Victoria, and he couldn't do it. Oh, man. The Spirit of the Lord shall raise up a standard against him. I want to thank all of you that prayed with us and helped raise up the standard. Because what the devil meant for bad, God worked it for good. And God got the honor. How stupid. The devil's so stupid. The Bible says to count it all as joy. Count it all joy. That's not very fun. We don't want to count our problems as joy. We don't want to count our testing and our trials as joy. But we count it as joy because we know the end. There ain't nobody that can beat our God. Ain't nobody that can beat our... You know, the Bible says that we have an adversary, the devil. God doesn't have an enemy. We do. We do. The devil wants to come against us, but God doesn't have an enemy. We grow up thinking that God and the devil are at war and like, you know, but there's no chance in literal hell that the devil can even come close to touching God. He's up there like, he's so dumb. He's so dumb. You know, like, God doesn't have an enemy. He is untouchable. He is all powerful. That was a revelation to me. Maybe you guys have always understood that. But we see this thing like, you know, the devil and God are at war together. You know, they're like, God ain't at war with nobody. God is victorious. And we are victorious because we are in him. We are his babies. Be like, dude, don't you know who my dad is? You're going to come against me. Don't you know who my dad is? Don't you know who I run with? Like, are you stupid? You are stupid. The devil is stupid. He's a liar. He is dumb. And when he comes against us, we need to put him in the place where he belongs, and that is under our feet. Under our feet. So how? You're like, how do I endure this? How do I endure this? What did the Bible say? What did we read about? It says, keep your eyes on Jesus. He is the author and the finisher of our faith. That's what Hebrews 12 said. Keep your eyes on Jesus. They always say that. You know, they're on some high place. Don't look down. Don't look down. You are so, like, we need to be snotty when it comes to the devil. Like, I'm not even going to acknowledge that right now. Because don't you know who I am? Don't you know who I serve? Don't you know who my daddy is? Don't look down. When those things happen, don't even deign yourself to look down. I mean, no. We keep our eyes on Jesus. We keep our eyes on Jesus. He has the victory. He's the author and the finisher of our faith, and he has brought you this far. I feel like somebody needs this today, is that he has brought you this far. He's going to see you through. He's going to see you through to the end. He's brought you this far. He's not going to cut and run. He's going to see you through. Okay? So the fire is going to test what you're made of, and God says that you're strong enough. God says, you've got the right stuff because you got me. You've got the right stuff because you got me. 1 Corinthians 6:15, the first part of the verse says, don't you realize that your bodies are actually parts of Christ? Don't you realize that your bodies are actually parts of Christ? We are united with Jesus. We are knit together. It's not just you out on your own. You got Jesus all up on the inside of you. Don't we realize that our bodies are actually connected, directly connected to Jesus? It's not just you in there by yourself. You got the Spirit. You've got the Spirit of God. The Spirit of God, oh man. 1 John 4:4. This is a good one. Really good. It says, little children, you are from God. Say, I'm from God. You, little children, you are from God, and you have overcome them, for he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. Little children, you are from God, and you have overcome them, for he who is in you, say, in me, he who is in me is greater than he who's in the world. The Spirit in you is stronger and greater than the testing and difficulty that you are facing right now. The Spirit of God is greater. The Spirit of God is greater. Greater is he who is in you. It's not you. It's who's in you. You've got the right stuff. We all look on the same on the outside, human being, you know. But we've got the right stuff on the inside. You've got the right stuff. And I'm going to read this post. Yesterday when I was on Facebook, I'd seen a post from Victoria Bowling that really just lifted me up. Mark and Victoria Bowling, they're part of our partners that we support them. They go and do things all over the country and the world, and they just love God and they love people. And she had posted this yesterday. I'm going to read this to you. The first part of her post, she puts a quote from Joyce Meyer, and I'm going to read this quote. So this is from Joyce Meyer. You might feel anger towards your situation, but don't ever be angry with God. When you get angry, you naturally want to lash out at someone, but it's unwise to make God your target, for he is the only one who can truly help you. Therefore, it's better to run to him in your time of pain than to run away from him. And then this is what she says. She says, wise, wise words of advice. There have been times in my deepest anguish that I've accused God. But God, you said you'd rebuke the devourer for us, and yet the enemy has devoured so much. He has caused so much pain. But, she says, I've come to realize this. It's not over yet. And every good thing he has promised shall surely come to pass, and everything stolen from us shall be repaid many times over. None of this can happen unless we lean into him. If we draw back, run away, or put up walls, we literally have no hope. Run to God. Don't run away from him. When we got that report about Jacob, we could have said, God, how did you let this happen? Why did this happen, God? Why did this happen? He's been through so much. Why would you let this little baby have another problem? Like, what is going on? But instead, we ran to him. We face these problems and you have the choice. You can curse God and die, or you can run to him and lean into him, who is our hope, our peace, our everything. And the things he has promised shall surely come to pass. Shall surely come to pass. And we leaned into God. And we still hurt and we cried and we cried out to God. But in all of the hurting and in everything, we leaned on him. We leaned on him. We leaned on the word. But we did not accept the lie. We did not accept the lie. And we worshiped and we prayed and we praised and we ran to him. And 6 weeks later, Jacob had a follow-up x-ray to see what was going on with the mass and all that. And they called us and there was no mass. There was nothing. And I know that I've shared about this before, and I'm sorry if you've heard about it for, you know, 3-4 times or whatever, but I'm going to keep saying it because it was God who did it. God did it, and I am not going to stop talking about it. He brought him back from the brink of death. He should be dead. He had a viral infection in his lungs. He turned blue and limp and lifeless on several occasions. But what the devil tried to snuff out, greater is he that is in us. And you can believe the lie, or you can stand on your truth. This is truth. He is our hope. And you need to know that it is not over yet. There's a fourth man with you in the fire. There is a fourth man with you in the fire, and it is not over yet. You can cut and run. You can start blaming God. You can start claiming all these things, claiming all these diseases, claiming all these issues. Start talking bad about your son or your daughter, whatever, your husband, your wife. You know, we create with our words. The Bible says that life and death are in the power of the tongue, and those that speak will reap the fruit of it. Speak as you want to see with the power and authority of Jesus, and it's going to. The Bible says that the angels are listening to hear the word, the command of the word, to go and do his bidding. Start speaking the word and start seeing things change. Even if you don't see it, you don't feel it, you start speaking the word. And it's going to get all up inside of you, and it's going to start changing things. Because that's the power of the word. When you bring God on the scene, when you bring the light, darkness cannot stay where light is, and that's just a fact of nature. Man, he is our hope, and it's not over yet. And guess what? He wins. He already won. There was no contest. We sang that song, nobody beside you. There has never been anyone, anything like you. There's nothing that can come close to touching the power and the greatness and the glory of our God. And that means if he already won, we already won, he wins, we win, done deal, it's over. Because that's our daddy. And greater is he who is in you than he who's in the world. You've got the right stuff. So when that fire comes, he's in you. It's not you or me. It's the Spirit of God in us. And you've got the Spirit. You've got the Spirit, and you're no different than me. We're no different than Joyce Meyer. We're no different than anybody else. The Spirit is the Spirit is the Spirit. That's what made me so happy about that lady who came up and blessed us on Friday. I'm like, that lady was listening to God. I don't even know her. She loves God. She's listening to Jesus. The Holy Spirit was talking to her, and I was right there. I didn't even know. That is so cool. That is so cool to me. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. I'm going to read one more scripture. I'm going to read from the Mirror Bible. Johnny Rolette got me hooked on this version of the Bible. It's called the Mirror Bible. And it's what it is, It's a paraphrased translation of Greek from the Greek text. And it follows the literal meaning of the words. So that way, reading it, you get the exact emphasis of what, from the Greek, what it was trying to say, which is really cool. Because I love knowing the Greek and the Hebrew words and what they mean and all that stuff. I love all of that. And 1 Corinthians 10:13, I'm going to read it from the Mirror Bible. What? It says, your situation is not unique. Every human life faces contradictions. Here is the good news. God believes in your freedom. He has made it possible for you to triumph in every situation that you will ever encounter. I'm going to read that again. Your situation's not unique. Sorry, like there's other people that have problems too. Like you got problems, we've all faced situations, but every human life faces contradictions, but here's the good news. God believes in your freedom, and he has made it possible for you to triumph in every situation that you will ever encounter. How did he do that? Jesus. He has made it possible for us to triumph in every situation that you will ever encounter. But it's our choice. It's our choice. We have the tools. It'd be like if somebody came and started punching me and beating me up, and I had all these weapons right here, and I just stood here and took it. You know, it's like in wrestling. They're wrestling, and the people from the side are like, grab the chair, like, do something. You know, like, hit them. And it's the same. We have every weapon at our disposal to fight and to stand and to come out victorious, not even smelling like smoke. He has made it possible for you to triumph in every situation that you will ever encounter because he believes in your freedom. He paid for it. He gave his son for your freedom, not so that you could live in bondage, bound up, burning in the fire. He says, no, I gave you Jesus so that you could be unbound, be walking with the fourth man. He's so good. So don't ever be mad at God because you're going through something. Because something happened to you. There are tragic situations in life. You know, things happen, things come up. We all go through stuff, but he gets us through. That's something that I talk to Jessica about a lot, you know, and she's anxious for the day when Marcus is going to be here running and jumping and dancing, and it's coming. We know it's coming. But that's one thing we always talk about, and it's like, you know, me and her both say, like, I don't know how people make it without God. I don't know how people make it through this kind of stuff without Jesus. Because he is what gets us through. God is faithful, and he's in you, and you have the right stuff. So I started this sermon asking you, what is in you? What are you made of? And I'm ending it by telling you that you are made of Jesus. You've got the right stuff. You are made of the Spirit of God. There's a quote, and I forget who it is, some astronomer or scientist, and it says that, you know, he's quoted in saying that we're all made of stardust. The same stuff that's in stars is in us. But we need to know that we are made of the God stuff. The same thing that was in God, he breathed his very being into the dirt and made us. He breathed his breath and his life into us. We're not just some accident or coincidence that crawled out of some goop of mud somewhere. God made us. He made you. And he put his breath into you, not just to survive and to be and exist like a bump on a log, but to thrive. To thrive and live a power, spirit-filled life. That whatever you go, wherever you do, that you would be used. How good is that? He didn't make us just to sit and look pretty up on a shelf. He made us with a purpose and a plan. Hallelujah. Well, let's stand on our feet this morning and we're just going to pray. God is good. If you are going through something right now and you just feel like you've been struggling real bad. Maybe you've been mad at God. Maybe you feel like you're all alone. I want to pray for you. If you need prayer for something, it doesn't matter what it is, I invite you to come up and we're going to pray for you. But we all need to know that when we go through those things, we have that fourth man standing there in the fire and we are not alone. And through that problem, through that trial, the only thing that's going to burn away is the stuff that's holding us back, because God wants you growing. Growing hurts. Growing pains hurt. But God wants you blessed and thriving. So Heavenly Father, right now, I just pray for every single person here. Every single person here that when those problems and those trials, those temptations, those things come into our life, I just declare right now that the Spirit of the living God, the Spirit of the Lord will raise up a standard against them. That when they are faced with those things and they want to say those words that contradict your word, Lord, that the Spirit would just remind them of how good and how awesome you are. I just declare, Lord, that we would have remembrance of Scripture, remembrance of testimony, remembrance of miracles, that when we have the urge or the temptation to speak against your word, speak anti-faith, that the Spirit of God would just rise up on the inside and remind us of who you are and what you've done. I just declare faith and power over these people this morning. Faith and power and ability to stand on your word. And I just declare, Lord, you are the only all-consuming fire that we will serve. We will not bow our knee to a lie from the enemy. We bow to you, Lord. You are so good. There's somebody here, the Lord would say to you, hope is on the way, hope is on the way. Hope is on the way, hope is on the way. You've been out fighting alone, paddling alone, but the Lord would say, I'm sending someone. Hope is on the way, help is on the way. Thank you, Jesus, that we never fight alone. And the battle's already won, it's already won. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. God is good. Amen. Just repeat after me. Just say, God is good. And God is in me. We're going to get through. Hallelujah. We're going to get through. I love that. Not even smelling like smoke. You're going to get through not even smelling like smoke. They won't even be able to tell that anything happened. Hallelujah. God is good. Well, thank you so much for joining in worship this morning. Hope you have a blessed day. We have service Wednesday nights at 6:30. We will see you. See you soon. Have a blessed week. Amen.